The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Thank you.
Hello.
Here's another edition of My Music, the protagonists, or if you prefer, the antagonists, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton, competing against David Franklin and Frank Neal. We begin this week with some bright-sounding music for you to identify, and in each case, rather interestingly, I think, in each case, the composer never heard his composition performed for one reason or another. Title, please, and composer for 2 marks. Ian Wallace, we begin with you. Great music.
Well, I think that's Schubert.
Yes, and I've already given you a hint.
Well, it's a symphony.
Yes.
But the question is, which one? He wrote...
Oh, great one.
He wrote 6 or 7.
Or more.
Or more, yes. But, you know...
Have a stab, Ian. Go on, lad.
Well, I said 6, didn't I, there?
Yeah,
so
I said,
why shouldn't I... Having said 6,
why
I'll
shouldn't
stick
you?
To
indeed,
it.
Yes, and you'd be wrong. That's why I said and more. I did say great music. That was my
great
hit.
Great music.
Start. It's known as the Great C Major, Symphony No. 9. Third movement by Schubert.
Well, it's only 3 out.
You get 1 mark out of 2. Never heard by Schubert because, in fact, the work was never played in his lifetime. Dennis, your turn.
But now, whenever you're away, can't sleep night and suffer all the day, I just sit and wonder if love isn't one big blow.
Oh, Lord. But you would play the middle bit, didn't you? I can't fix on the sum.
Well, the other bits had the title in them, so I couldn't ask you the title having played Ella singing...
Well, tell me the name of the song, Steve.
All right, yes, and half marks then. I was doing all right. That's what Ella was about to sing.
That's Gershwin.
Yes. And...
Would it be for the same reason as he never heard Love Walked In?
Yes. Jolly good.
Oh, yeah, because it was... He wrote it for a film that he died before...
He wrote it for, with his brother Ira, for The Goldwyn Follies, 1938, which, in fact, Gershwin was working on at his death in 1937, so he never heard it properly, fully performed. 1 out of 2, because I did have to give you the title of the song.
Well done.
So, different kind of music for David Franklin.
Little bit of night music by Mozart.
Yes. I always think it's so sad that Mozart, of all people, was in his whole lifetime, was never able to enjoy hearing Eine kleine Nachtmusik, but something which the rest of us can enjoy so much. It was never played during his lifetime. 2 marks to David. Frank, here's one for you. Frank, please.
No.
I got news for you, Frank. You're on your own.
The only reason for anybody failing to hear their music is they're dead or deaf.
Yes. I thought elimination would get you.
We've had the deadens. But we haven't had the deafens. So presumably Beethoven.
Yes. And which of his works would I play you? Now come on, not an early work because he wasn't deaf then, so a late work.
Not too late because he was dead then.
And presumably a symphony.
Voices from the audience.
Well, she says, yes, she
you're
says
outnumbered,
nine, yeah.
Steve. They yeah. say it's nine.
Yes, and they're right. It was part of this. It was from the second movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Never heard it because of his deafness. And I suppose I have no alternative than to give you 2 marks.
You have beautiful hands, madam. You should use them more.
The missing thumb helped.
I don't know what she'll do when we get to the Shostakovich symphony. Next round. What instrument do they play, or did they play? Ian Wallace, Samuel Pepys.
The bag peeps?
Jolly thought, but not correct.
The wind music he played.
Yes, yes.
Because he's, I can remember something about when he went to a play and he said that the wind music that was played when the angel came down was so wonderful, I was so exalted I was sick. And I went home and insisted that my wife and I practice the wind music together.
Yes, I can give you the mark, I think. Do you know the particular instrument he favoured so much?
The oboe.
The flageolet.
Oh, the flageolet.
Flageolet or flageolet. Dennis, again, which instrument does he play? Warren Mitchell, alias Alf Garnett.
What? He actually plays the clarinet.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. Yes, he does. He really does play the clarinet rather well. He plays in a small symphony orchestra. One mark. David, Frederick the Great.
Flute.
Thank you. Frank, Stanelli.
Motorhorns.
Funny how the truth gets a laugh, isn't it? Yes. What did he call it? His
motorhorns.
No, he called the Stanelli and his hornkestra.
Oh, yes, he would, wouldn't he?
He was also a very good violinist indeed, but he had this sort of orchestra instrument made up of motorhorns. I refer to the score, and I find that leading by 2 marks as usual at present are David Franklin and Frank Muir. This round concerns opera, and it features the lovely voice of Montserrat Caballé. Excerpts from 4 arias sung by her. Ian, who's the character she's playing here, and what is the character, in effect, saying?
Woodwind saying a good deal more than she is. It's Aida.
Yes, that's the character. That's one mark.
Patria mia, mine on my pew, my country nevermore is what.
Yes. So my fatherland, I shall never see you again.
Yes.
Yes. There's 2 marks. Fine. Dennis, the character that Cavalier is playing here is walking in her sleep. Listen, and then tell me in 3 English words what is she saying. Yes.
Shut that door. I had it whispered to me by Ian that it was Lady Macbeth.
Yes.
And I
therefore venture that she was saying out damned spot.
Yes, and do very nicely, or I would have accepted out, I say, or even hell is murky. One, two, various other words. Yes, you from know, the sleepwalking scene in Verdi's.
Steve, after that very difficult scene, Lady Macbeth has to finish with a top D flat, pianissimo. It's always arranged that she does it off stage. And I've known Lady Macbeths who pass through the wings, into the wings, where a girl in the chorus is waiting with her top D flat already. Yes. Very difficult to do that. Yes. After a big scene.
Gotcha. You've got 2 marks, Dennis. David, your question. Here's a quadruple curse.
Cursing everybody within sight. It's Forzal da Destino.
Yes.
And please don't ask me to explain who she's cursing, because nobody knows, not even people who've sung in the opera.
It's fairly important that they should know, isn't it?
Well, yes, but they never do. And do you know what the story is of Forzal da Destino, Ian?
Yes.
Don't give it to us.
I'm not going any further than that. I have sung in the opera. That's the reason. So I have a very clear picture of what goes on in the scenes that I was in.
Exactly. We may not know the score. We may not be able to score, but we know what we are singing. Don't we?
Yes. I had a very, very touching scene in a soup kitchen, I remember. Dishing out the soup in the monastery.
Oh, yeah.
That had nothing to do with her curses. I mean, it was lousy soup, but... No, I think life just got on top of her at that moment, actually.
And why she's disguised as a hermit, of course, is anybody's guess at that moment. Anyway,
well, to expiate something or other.
Pardon? Sorry?
To expiate something or other.
Always.
I don't think we should go any further.
A great expiation artist, Leonora. David, for your second mark, I have to ask you formally, who composed La Forza del Destino?
Oh, Verdi.
Thank you, yes, 2 marks. Frank, some really exquisite singing. An old thing 'twas, but it expressed her fortune, and she died singing it. Who did?
I'll be thinking about this now. I need a little assistance. Anyone in the audience?
I'll even tell you the name of the person.
Who is it?
But I need more information than that. Remember, the question was, an old thing to us, but it expressed her fortune and she died singing it. Barbara was her name.
Ah, Seville.
I can't give
any
it
any more help on you.
She was singing in Italian, Willow, Willow, Willow. Comes from Otello.
Otello, oh yes. Don't have any more, Mrs. Moore. Translation.
The answer to
Desdemona was singing.
Well, no. The answer to my question was Desdemona's mother's maid, Barbara, in Othello, Shakespeare's Othello. I quoted from the Shakespeare there. And the song singing you heard from Othello by
Willow Titwillow.
You can afford to drop 2 marks there. Some general questions that might be of interest. Ian, German children sing it round the Christmas tree. The Confederate Army sang it during the American Civil War. British socialists at conferences. And Bernard Shaw said it sounded like the funeral march of a fried eel. Can you give me, please, 2 of its titles for a mark?
Well, the one that Bernard Shaw... excuse me. Sorry. Speaking in Flemish. Bernard Shaw's description was of The Red Flag.
That's one title, yes.
I seem to think it was called Maryland.
Yes, my
My Maryland.
Maryland, yes, that's another for you.
I don't know what...
Germany, Der Tannenbaum.
Tannenbaum, yes.
You got two out of three, so you get your one mark. Correct. Dennis, a famous composer once said, "As soon as I have finished one, I begin the next." What was he referring to?
It was an advert. He's referring to mints with holes in the middle. I could still be thinking of the same composer. I don't know, he was talking about mezzo-sopranos, actually.
Because he was a very bad singing teacher.
I don't know, he could have been talking about anything from, I presume, his work. People always talk about their work.
Yes, it is. I'll give you your mark. It was, in fact, Schubert, talking of his songs. He once composed 8 songs in a single day. So do I, but my songs don't sound like his. David, when the musical members of the Bach family got together, they used to enjoy a quadlibet. What is a quadlibet?
It's a fish.
Trout.
A quadlibet, in one sense, is what you inflict on us in your weekly piano medleys. A quadlibet is a tune that slides into another tune, two tunes that can be joined together either horizontally by gliding from one into the other, or they can be two tunes in counterpoint.
Yes, like, what is it, the British Grenadiers and the Bluebells of Scotland that go together?
Yes, well, yeah. Yes, We Have No Bananas, and what was the other one?
I don't know. You tell me.
Yes, they do fit.
Yes, we have
no...
Well,
there's Tipperary and Pack Up Your Troubles, for example.
No, that's it, yes.
What's the difference in that? A musical switch.
I won't guarantee this.
Oh,
musical
switch
is on end. As David so graphically put it, sort of vertically as opposed... horizontally as opposed to vertically or something, is the way you put it. Well, yes, musical joke, two tunes that go together. Literally, quadlibet means, of course, what you please. One mark. Frank, Bach wrote several partitas. What do you think might be the origin of the word partita?
Well, as I said about those early composers, that they were almost all impoverished. They depended on a bag of gold being flung them by their patrons. They were very often terribly hungry. And when the string section of 5, and you'd find that only 4 had any music in front of them, the 5th would be a part eater.
The art in those stories is that we shouldn't be ahead of you, isn't it? Lovely.
Or,
it doesn't matter.
Marchita Hunt's husband.
Or father.
Partita, Italian, game, match, lot, set. Originally a set of early 17th century dances, sometimes taken to mean theme and variations. That's for the purists among us. We're going to hear snatches of music now representing clothes. For just one mark, what are they wearing, Ian?
In a word, a rather... You held up your finger.
I thought you were going to give me more than one word for a moment there.
I thought that, you know, they were going to play a bit more of the music and you didn't want me to interrupt it. I'm so sorry.
No.
Forget all that. I'll start again. In a word, or rather in 3, that's a hat, but it's a curiously shaped, three-cornered hat.
Oh, those are the 3 words, yes. Or in a word, a tricorn. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Because, in fact, that was from Manuel de Falla's ballet.
The ballet, the three-cornered hat.
Right for a mark. Dennis, what's this girl wearing?
She wore a little jacket of blue.
That's right. True for a mark. David, what has this girl got on? I would accept any one of 7 answers.
Oh, you've given it to me.
Oh, curses.
She was wearing, eventually, no veils.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. The Dance of the 7 Veils from Richard Strauss's Salome. One mark. Frank, where is this article of clothing worn?
Oh.
Jack Holbert wore it just above one ear.
Because?
My hat's on the side of my head.
Yes, and a mark to you. Very good. This is where our contestants fall to singing. The answer to each question is in the words of a song, and we leave Ian to last according to custom. So, Dennis, can you tell me in song, if you please, why do they call her Cookie?
Looky, 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 here comes Cookie, walking down the street. Looky, 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 they call her Cookie, cause she's sweet.
Yes, or in later line, cause she takes the cake on the lucky break. Yes, two marks to you. David, why are you called Little Buttercup?
Sheer typecasting. You don't really want me to sing that, do you?
A line or two would be nice. I'll give
You're
you a note.
You're so soppy.
Shall I give you a note?
Thank you.
I'll be waiting to take the D.
You couldn't just start suggesting a tune, could you?
Yes, I could.
Oh, yes. I'm called Little Buttercup. Shut up! I'm called Little Buttercup, dear Little Buttercup. But I can never think why. I'm still Little Buttercup, boring old Buttercup. And oh, what a good boy am I!
Hewn out of the living rock.
You lost a mark by having to be cued in with the tune, but you got it back again with the ingenuity of the word. So you've got two out of two. Frank, where are large fleas to be found?
Very large dogs. In the store.
Yes.
In the unsingable song.
Yes, isn't it? I like not when you're a Boy Scout.
Melodic one. In the store, there are fleas, fleas, big and chimpanzees, in the quarter
blooming trees, store. Yes, yes, there's your marks. Ian, that leaves you to tell us, please, what thought came into your head as you were sitting by the fire?
Oh, yes. Suddenly the thought came into my head.
Yes.
Now, this is a song, a very refined song, called The One-Eyed Riley.
That's right.
I said a very refined song, ladies and gentlemen. At least my version is very refined. It goes on a bit, and we would be here rather a long time. So this is a gentleman who decides that he likes the look of the daughter of the one-eyed Riley, who is obviously rather a jealous and possessive father. He marries the girl, and we would now cut to the drama. if you could give me something in roundabout a G, I would think. No, I think more precisely a G. and he's sitting, having a lovely, peaceful life with this girl, and then the drama starts. Suddenly a footstep on the stair. Who could it be but the one-eyed Riley, with two pistols in his hand, looking for the girl who had married his daughter. E-D-I-A, E-D-I-A, E-D-I-A to the one-eyed Riley. Boom, 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 goes Riley on his old bass drum. I seized old Riley by the hair, put his head in a bucket of water, fired his pistols into the air, a damn sight quicker than I wooed his daughter. E-D-I-A, E-D-I-A, E-D-I-A to the one-eyed Riley. Boom, 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 goes Riley on his old bass drum.
At that point, my music expires for another week with a final score, which is the victory by 1.5 marks for David Franklin and Frank Leo.
Taking part in My Music were David Franklin, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, And the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryan.